Well, good morning. It is good to see everyone out. And we've had a good week, and I'm sure that many of you feel like me. It's been a good week, but a little tired. So we will enjoy our time together and hopefully be able to rest this week. Well, I appreciate Brother Robin giving thought to the songs that he picks out, as I know all of the song leaders do, because we want to discuss singing this morning. And really, I want to talk for the next several weeks about different aspects and parts of our worship. John really introduced us to several worship ideas and several worship themes throughout the gospel meeting. He talked about sometimes that worship can be a little bit redundant. And we know the order of service, and so we know we're going to sing this many songs, and we know we're going to have a prayer, and then this is going to happen, and then that's going to happen. And sometimes, with redundancy, we don't pay careful attention to each and every aspect of our service. There is no part of our worship to God that should simply be just tacked on or hastily skipped through. All of it is important, all of it is significant, and all of it demands our full attention. As we look at different aspects of our worship over the next couple of weeks, I want this particular verse to stand out to you. This will kind of be our theme verse. In 1 Chronicles chapter 29 in verse 1, David has been making a lot of preparations for the temple. And in 1 Chronicles 29 in verse 1, it says, "Then King David said to the entire assembly, 'My son Solomon, whom alone God has chosen, is still young and inexperienced, and the work is great. For the temple is not for man, but for the Lord.'" David, why are you spending so much time gathering things together to build the temple? Why are you giving so much of your own money and your own resources that the temple might be built? Why are you calling the assembly together to encourage them to strengthen your son's hand in this particular work? Because the work is done not for man, but the work is done for the Lord. This is to be for the Lord's house. This is to be significant. This is to be a place of worship. And thus, no energy is to be spared. It is to be done carefully, and it is to be done for the praise of the Lord. And I want you to keep this verse in mind as we look at each and every aspect of our worship together. We do this not for man. We do this not for ritual. We do this for the Lord our God. From the earliest stories in the Bible, we read about worship. In Genesis chapter 4, Cain and Abel go before the Lord in order to worship Him. And we read in Genesis chapter 4 that a person's offering was accepted and one person's was not. And so from our first worship scene, we know that there is worship that is acceptable to God, and we know that there is worship that is unacceptable to God. And so we need to be careful that we worship God in the way that He has commanded. And I think in many ways that starts in the heart of the worshiper. Let me just say just a word here at the beginning to set expectations for this lesson. And this lesson may bleed over into next week as well. But We're not going to be discussing instrumental music in this particular sermon. If the group here would like to discuss that at some point, I don't mind preaching on that someday. But that is not the point of the lesson this morning. We are actually not going to discuss instrumental music at all. Our focus is just going to be to provoke us to our singing to the Lord. Is our singing to the Lord following biblical standards? Is our singing to the Lord honoring and praising Him as we should? You know, it's easy for the song leader. Robin sits down today. He picks out the songs. He knows what he's going to sing. He's got an idea of even why he wants to sing the songs, as he told us about Count Our Many Blessings. But if I were to ask you, after we finish singing, not necessarily the titles of the song, but what did the songs convey, would you be able to do that? Some of these songs we get used to and we sing on such a regular basis that we even forget the message that is contained within the song and the song that we're singing. And sometimes, yes, we know this song, and so we sing it, we even know it by memory. We go through the song, we finish the song, and we say to ourselves, we really didn't think a whole lot about the message that that song was conveying. And so as we sing to the Lord, we need to make sure that our mind is fully engaged to God, and that we are glorifying Him as we worship Him in this way. As you look throughout Scripture, what are things that are emphasized about our singing? Well, the first thing that I think is important to emphasize is that our singing needs to be God-focused. We don't sing about ourselves. You know, many of the popular songs, when you turn on the radio, express our emotions. But when we sing unto the Lord, the biblical pattern is our focus rests on God, not how we're feeling, not how we're thinking, but on God, the Godward focus. Notice in a passage that we often quote, Ephesians 5 and verse 19, it calls us to sing and make melody in our heart to the Lord. In Colossians chapter 3 in verse 16, again, another famous passage, we sing with thankfulness in our hearts to God. As we gather together to sing and to engage in this type of worship, our worship needs to be Godward focused. Look throughout the Old Testament. Look throughout the Bible and see how many times that this particular idea is conveyed. Exodus 15 in verse 1, Israel has just won a great battle. And so in Exodus 15 in verse 1, let us sing to the Lord. It's time to praise and to honor and glorify God through song because He has delivered us in this particular way. In Judges chapter 5, after a great victory in Judges chapter 4, Deborah and Barak sing a song of praise to God. The focus as we gather together and sing is on God. Now you may be like me, and you may not have a very good voice. I took some music lessons through the years. Didn't help a whole lot. And I have never been one that really has the ability to lead singing in any particular way. Many of you all have excellent voices. But I have known people who have not sang because they were concerned that their voice was not good enough. And I think that is something that we need to be very careful about. Remember why we're doing this. We're doing this to praise and to honor and glorify God and to lift Him up. It's not so that people will hear us sing and say, man, you've got a good voice. Man, you should be on stage somewhere. The focus is on God. We're singing to the Lord, and our thoughts and our hearts and our voices blend in harmony to focus on Him. As you sing, I want you to seriously ask yourself this question. What is your mind focused on? As you sing the songs, are you careful to listen to the words that we sing to pull the message out? Is our thoughts focused on worship to God, and do our songs further and excite us to worship God? Or do we allow ourselves and our minds to wander and become distracted because we've sang this song 105 different times and we know it well? Where is our mind? Where is our heart as we sing praises unto God? As we sing, one biblical pattern that continues to emerge throughout the Bible is that most songs are spent praising God. If you're unsure of this, just go through the Bible and look at the different times in the Old and the New Testament and see how many times that singing is connected to praising God. Again, a passage that we referenced earlier, Exodus 15 and Judges chapter 5, those are songs praising God and glorifying His name. In Psalm 18, in verse 49, which is quoted in Romans chapter 15, in verse 9, and let's turn over there, Psalm 18. Psalm 18 in verse 49, the psalmist says, therefore I will give thanks to you among the nations, O Lord, and I will sing praises to your name. And again, that's quoted in Romans chapter 15 in verse 9. Singing focuses on praise and exaltation of God. Now, John last week emphasized in prayer how that in prayer, and he used the illustration of Hezekiah's prayer in Isaiah 37, how that prayer exalts and magnifies God. And that is exactly right. But the same is true of our singing as well. Do the songs that we sing praise and honor and glorify our Maker? I want you to turn in your Bible to Acts 16. In Acts 16, Paul and Silas have been doing a good work in Philippi. There has been many people who have been brought to the Lord, and things are going well. And yet, when Paul cast out a demon from a girl who the demon allowed her to tell the future, her master saw that all hope of profit was gone, and so they had them arrested, beaten, and thrown into prison. I have a feeling I'd know how I would respond if that happened to me. But I want you to notice how Paul and Silas respond. In verse 25, but about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening. You know, those prisoners had heard people complain about being unjustly treated. I doubt those prisoners had ever heard anything like what they were hearing that night. People who they knew had been treated, people who, if you read the text, were thrown into the innermost part of the prison. They were supposed to be the most dangerous of criminals, so they had the most security. And they're singing hymns, and the purpose of the singing of those hymns is praising God. as we sing our hymns, and as we think about the message, is our heart such that our singing brings praise to God? In a jail cell, after being wrongly accused and having legal options, as we see from the end of chapter 16, Paul and Silas said, you know what? Now's a good time to sing songs which praise God. And I don't think their praise was half-hearted. And I don't think that their praise was lip service. And I don't think that their praise was distracted song that they had just sang several times and so they could just get through the words. It came from the heart. Is that a reflection of yours and mine singing? Do we sing in such a way that we honor and glorify our Creator and that we praise Him? Songs like Praise Him, Praise Him. Songs like Hallelujah, Praise Jehovah, or Hallelujah, What a Savior, are some songs that we sing on a semi-regular basis which exalt and praise our Lord and Maker. But as we sing, are we guilty of distracted singing or active praising of God through song? But not only do we praise God through song, but we express thankfulness unto Him. Again, in Ephesians chapter 5, in verses 19 through 20, a passage that we often turn to, we are called to be singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. Colossians chapter 3 in verse 16. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in our hearts toward God. It is interesting throughout the Bible that thankfulness and the praise of God are often connected. And you can look up these passages from the Psalms that I've given you here. I just gave you a handful. But if you would like to, just look that up. There are many more. We praise God and we give thanks to Him through song. And those are often connected throughout the Bible. So as we are glorifying God, we also sing with thanksgiving in our hearts toward God. In the two most famous passages in the New Testament, Ephesians 5 and Colossians 3, that we talk about all the time when it comes to singing, both of them emphasize the giving of thanks through song. Is that our regular pattern? As we sing to God, are we overwhelmed with thankfulness? Many of the songs that we sing, as Brother Jerry pointed out in his Lord's Supper talk, we sing about Jesus. As we sing about Jesus, should not our hearts be filled with thanksgiving over all that He has done for us? We often talk about the nation of Israel and the Israelites, and they weren't thankful unto God, and yet each and every service we gather together to sing, and we are called to sing with thankfulness in our hearts. Are we fulfilling that command? It is easy to highlight the wrongs of others. They're grumbling, they're complaining. My word, good thing I'm not like that. And yet how often as I sing to God, does thankfulness fill my heart? Brother Robin was right as we sang that song, Count Our Many Blessings. We have so much to be thankful for on so many different levels. We have things to be thankful for on a physical level. We have things to be thankful for because we have been blessed with money and with the things of this earth to live in comfort. And we have things to be thankful for on a spiritual level. And that's just a few of the things that we have to be thankful for. Obviously, Count Your Blessings is a song that we sing that highlights that. But the song, O Worship the King, mentions those concepts as well. As we sing, are we showing God just how thankful that we are for all that He has done for us? Are we expressing true gratitude towards in song? Are our hearts overcome in thankfulness, knowing that we could never repay the one who has done so much for us? We sing praise to God. We sing with thankfulness toward God. And we sing with joy. In James chapter 5 in verse 13, is anyone among you suffering? Then he must pray. Is anyone cheerful? He must sing praises. Now, I don't think that this particular verse says you can only sing when you're happy. But I do think that the idea of joy is something that we as a Christian should have. Joy is not something that everything's going perfectly in my life and all of the pieces of the puzzle are falling together in just the right way. And so we're kind of happy about the way life is working out. No, joy is found, according to Paul, even when you're in prison in the book of Philippians. Joy is found in circumstances that non-Christians would scratch their head at. If we are going through a difficult time, James tells us, pray to God. Express your feelings, your thoughts, your disappointments, your hurts to God. Pour your heart out to Him. But if you're cheerful, if you're thankful, if you're filled with the joy, then sing praises to Him. Tell you one thing I think that this reminds me of is that singing is not just something that we're supposed to do as we gather together and assemble together. But singing is something that we do individually throughout the week. Are you overcome with joy that God has given you? Sing praises to Him. Sing with thanksgiving in your heart. You know, we mark so many happy occasions with song. You go to a wedding, they have singing. Why? Because it's a happy time, right? It's a festive time. We're excited to be here. You go to a birthday party and we mark that with singing. Poor rendition often of happy birthday. Why? Because we're excited to be there. We're excited for another year of life. We're excited God has given us the life that He has. Each occasion is often marked with joy, with singing. Even sometimes when we're just happy. You see somebody singing, we say, what happened to you? Who put a quarter in you, right? We have been given joy by our Creator. And again, that doesn't mean that everything has worked out perfectly. But we have been given the joy that only God can give. Are we singing and expressing joy toward all that He has blessed us with? It's been a long week, and so I think I'll just go ahead and conclude the sermon there for this morning. And we will pick up next week and discuss the final 3 points of our lesson. I hope that what we have said this morning has encouraged you to think more about your singing. I know as I have looked at these different passages and thought about these different things, it has really challenged me in each and every part of our worship service. Lord willing, next week I will try to give a little bit more concrete suggestions to some of the song leaders as they lead, and then also some suggestions for those of us who just sit in the pews and sing along about ways that we could better sing to God. But I hope the lesson has challenged you in some way to become a better singer and to praise and give thanksgiving to God. Bow with me, please. Oh Lord, you are great and you are awesome and you are holy. You are King of kings and you are Lord of lords. You are the great I am. Lord, as we come before you now, we are so humbled and grateful that we have had the opportunity last week to worship you throughout the week, to gather together with fellow Christians and to be encouraged by your words from Scripture. Lord, we ask as we gather together on a weekly basis, on Sunday and Wednesday, we ask that we never take for granted or that worship become mundane. We ask that we carefully consider and carefully engage in each and every part of our service. We ask, as we have thought about singing this morning, that our songs that we have sung this morning are from a sincere heart, that they were lifted in praise and adoration to you, that they were sang with thankful hearts, with joy that we as Christians have. Lord, forgive us when our minds have drifted and considered other things during your service. When our focus has rested on something else, something worldly, something fleshly, something that has distracted us from giving our focus and devotion to you. We ask for the strength for our heart and our mind to be carefully active in worship each time that we assemble together. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Song of invitation this morning is number 326. If there is any in the audience who has not made their life right with God by being washed in the waters of baptism, and if we can help you to accomplish that and begin your walk with the Lord, then we urge you, please come forward as we stand and sing.